Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Look with me, 1 Kings 17, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. 1 Kings 17, verse number 1 says this, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the who was of the inhabitants of Gilgal, and unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, I want to call your attention into one word in our text today that is mentioned several times. This morning, Brother Josh was going out to do youth church, and on his way out, I shook his hand. I said, Man, I'm praying for you. Hope y'all have a tear down in youth church today. I hope it goes good. He said, Preacher, he said, I've got one word that the Lord's given me for youth church today. And I said, Really? And he said, Yeah. He said, I don't have but one word. And I said, That's amazing. I said, God's given me one word for the message today. He said, Really? He said, Well, you know what my word is? And I said, What is your word? He said, There. And I said, It's what? He said, It's there. I said, Where are you going? He said, 1 Kings 17. We hadn't talked all week. We ain't said one thing to each other all week. And I don't ask them what they're going to teach over there. I don't quiz them on that. I don't question them over that. I just trust them. That's the reason they're in that position. But I find it interesting that the Lord's got him teaching the young people on one word today. And I want to talk to you about one word. Look in verse number 4, the last word of verse number 4, there. Look in verse number 9. It's mentioned twice in verse number 9, there and there. Look in verse number 10. It's mentioned again, there. You ever been on a road trip with your kids and they made this statement? Hey, Dad, are we there yet? Hey, church, are we there yet? That's what I want to preach on today. Father, I love you. Lord, you know my heart's desire this morning. God, I really believe in all of my heart that before the foundations of the world was ever laid, you knew who would be sitting here today. You knew what I would be preaching today. Lord, you knew what Brother Josh would be teaching our kids in youth church today. God, I don't think it's no coincidence that we're both in the same text this morning talking about the same thing. So God, I pray, Lord, that you'd add a blessing to it today. God, I don't know the hearts of the hearers here today. God, I don't know who's saved. I don't know who's lost. But God, you do. And God, I pray that you would do a work in their heart and in their life that only you can do. God, we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. When you come to 1 Kings chapter number 17, you'll find that it is when we are introduced to this prophet by the name of Elijah. It's during the reign of King Ahab, one of Israel's most wicked kings, who led the people into idol worship, especially the worship of Baal. Elijah declared a drought as God's judgment on Israel, which lasted 3.5 years. God sent Elijah to the brook Cherith where the ravens fed him. He later sends him to a widow in Zarephath where she feeds him there, and God miraculously keeps the oil barrel and the meal full during that time. There, while he's in Zarephath, the widow's son dies, and God chooses Elijah to raise him from the dead, one of the first recorded resurrections in the Bible. You that knows the Word of God knows that when we move past chapter number 17, we come to chapter 18 of 1 Kings, one of Elijah's most famous moments, which is the contest of all the false prophets, of 450 of them, on Mount Carmel. Elijah challenges them to pray fire down out of heaven by their gods, and of course they don't. Then Elijah takes and makes an altar out of rocks and digs ditches and fills it full of water and prays, and the fire of God falls from heaven and laps it all up, and God is proven to be the one true and living God that day. After Queen Jezebel threatens his life, Elijah ends up fleeing into the wilderness, feeling defeated and depressed. But you'll find that God comforted him with food and rest and a gentle whisper at Mount Horeb, showing Elijah, listen to this, that God not only works through dramatic events, but also in the quiet, subtle times in our life, God is always there. Elijah continues his journey as a prophet till eventually he is taken up into heaven in a chariot of fire. Matter of fact, some people will liken Elijah to a type of Jesus and the work that he done when studying the Bible. You'll find that Elijah comes back with Moses and appears on the mountain of transfiguration in Matthew 17. Elijah, his name means the Lord is God. And there's no doubt that the ministry of Elijah in the Word of God corresponds to the meaning of Elijah's name. Whenever we think about the different things that Elijah accomplished in his life, it's pretty amazing. To think about there when he is sitting at the brook, and there at the brook when God uses the ravens to feed him. Whenever you study that word raven out, you'll find that it is really what we know as a crow today, and God uses a crow to feed Elijah. God uses that to sustain him. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? Absolutely, I believe that today. Whenever you go over to the widow lady's house and you visit Elijah at the widow lady's house, and God uses Elijah to help that widow lady and to bring that widow lady's son back to life. Man, what an amazing story. When you go to chapter 18 and you look at what he does in chapter number 18, and God praying Elijah praying the fire of God down out of heaven in chapter number 18, my soul, what a story that is. Matter of fact, one writer summed up these two chapters this way. Elijah by the brook, it's a place of training. He learned patience and he learned provision. At the widow lady's house was a place of testing. He learned to be bold and he learned to be broken. But then on Mount Carmel, it was a place of triumph. You'll find there on Mount Carmel, we see the person to be shown, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power that was satisfying. You'll find that there at Mount Carmel, the one true and living God is exalted at Mount Carmel, and God uses the life of Elijah to bring that. You said, preacher, what are you saying? Here's simply what I'm saying. Elijah was at some interesting places in his life. Could I say it this way? God uses the life of Elijah in a magnificent way. It's amazing. I love studying his life. But the only way Elijah was ever used the way that Elijah was used, listen to me, is because he was there. Y'all thought it was going to be something real deep right then. I felt the wind go out of everybody's sail right then. It's because he was there. It's because he was there. Several years ago, I was sitting at home one Sunday morning, And my phone went off, and it was a notification. And I looked at that notification, and whenever I looked at it, Brother Elijah, that was Elijah singing today. But that's a different Elijah than I'm preaching about. But anyway, watch this. It was a notification from my dear camera. I'm going to get spiritual for just a minute. Brother Stan, I looked at it, and I thought, my soul. So I ran upstairs into Olivia's bedroom, and I said, hey, Olivia, I said, you might need to look at this. And she said, Dad, I'm not interested, no little deer. And I said, you might want to look at this. And I flipped the phone around, and she said, yeah, I think I'm interested in that one. So we zoomed in on and got to counting, and it was a beautiful 11-point buck. I told her, I said, we might ought to watch that a little bit, see if we can't get a pattern on that joker, and see if we can't get you on it. So that Sunday afternoon, as soon as service was over, forgive us, but we slid to the side to check the phone to see if we had any more pictures of it. And guess what? About 4:30 that Sunday afternoon, he came in. I told Olivia, she said, you think we need to hunt tomorrow? I said, no, we'll not go tomorrow. I said, let's just see what happens. Let's stay out of there. Tuesday between 4:15 and 4, or Monday between 4:15 and 4:30, guess what happened? He came back. Tuesday, I looked at her and I said, you've got guitar lessons or we can go hunting. And she took after her dad. She said, I need to be disciplined and go to my guitar lessons. I said, that's a great answer. If you was like your mama, you'd go hunting. So I took her to guitar lessons. At 4:25, we're sitting at guitar lessons, and guess what happens? My phone goes off. Brother Brian, I looked at my phone, and whenever I looked at my phone, guess what? He was in there. So I told Olivia, after we got done with lessons, I showed her the picture, and she said, what are we going to do? I said, tomorrow afternoon, we're going to be sitting there, good Lord willing, and the river don't rise, at way before 4:30. We're going to get in there and get set up. She said, okay. She said, do you think we'll kill him? I said, watch this, if we're there. If we're there. So you know what happened? I didn't sleep a wink Tuesday night. I was more excited about, some of you parents understand what I'm saying. I was more excited, Brother Lord, about taking her the next day to go try to kill that deer than I was if I was the one going to shoot that day. So we got everything ready. We got to the deer stand. We got set up in the deer stand. We got the heater positioned just right. You didn't misunderstand me. We got a big box stand that's insulated. Somebody say amen. We got the heater positioned just right. And about 4 o'clock, I told her, I said, Olivia, here's what you better do. If you want a snack, you better get it right now. I said, because here in just a little while, if he stays to his pattern, he's going to show up. She said, okay, Dad. So she reached over in her backpack, got her chocolate muffins out and her drink out, and was sitting by the heater in the deer stand eating chocolate muffins and drinking her drink. And I looked up, and guess what? He was there. I told Olivia, I said, we had already seen a bunch of deer. I said, you better get that gun. You better get ready. She said, I'm not interested in none of them little bucks that had done come through. I said, you get the gun or I'm getting the gun. So she got the gun. He walked out about 20 minutes after 4 that day. She pulled the trigger on him, shot him. He run about 20 yards. He's down there hanging in a room today. You say, why did you say? The only reason that happened was because she was there. I want to ask you a question. Are you there yet? When it comes to spiritual things in our life, I believe there's 2 or 3 very simple things that we can see right here in the life of Elijah and ask ourselves this question today. Are we there yet? Number one, watch this. There was a place of, watch this first word, submission. Submission. This is a word that we all have trouble with. Somebody say amen. This word means this. It's the act of submitting, the act of yielding to the power or authority, surrender of the person and power to the control or government of another. In other words, it is saying, I'm not the one making the decisions. I'm going to allow someone else to make the decisions in our life. So you say, preacher, are we there? Where's there? There is a place of submission today. Have we come to a place in our life where we allow God to make our decisions instead of us? Elijah was at a place of submission. God just tells Elijah, watch this, go to the king's house and tell him it ain't going to rain. Can I just put that in a little bit of our day? Maybe it wouldn't be as far as going to the White House, but it would be going to the governor's mansion right here in North Carolina and walking into Governor Stein and saying, hey, God, well, number one, you're not going to get in there. But if you did get in there to see him and looking at him and going, God said, it ain't going to rain no more, man. That's exactly what Elijah just did. You say, well, preacher, he's crazy. No, that's what God told him to do. And you know what he done? He submitted himself to exactly what God wanted him to do. There's a place of submission. Watch this, Elijah's position in verse number one. He goes there. He does exactly what God wants him to do. Elijah's preparation in verse number 2-4. The reason God could prepare Elijah before what he wanted Elijah to do was if Elijah was in the place that God wanted him to be. You see, can I say this to you today? We all want to be prepared, but we're not interested in a position that he may want us to be in. We're always interested. I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm going to have to hurry if I'm going to get done. I remember years ago, Brother Robert, close to 19 years ago now, I came up here and preached the first time. After I preached the first time, my dad and I went and sat down and talked to Brother Junior Easter. He was the one that founded this church. Matter of fact, I hope you'll come homecoming Sunday. It's 40 years. We're going to talk a lot about that. But he founded this church. And Brother Robert, we went right up the road here. Dad and I walked in and sat down. Dad was the one that recommended me up here. We sat down with Brother Easter. We talked to Brother Easter. And I'll never forget, Brother Easter looked at me and he said, here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to come work with me about 6 months to a year, and then I'll turn the church over to you and recommend you to be the pastor of the church. And in the backside of my mind, I was saying, no, I'm not interested in doing that. I'm interested in being the pastor. I was already an assistant pastor where I was at, and there's nothing wrong with that if that's where God has you to be at. But I was saying, man, I would really like to pastor. That was my heart's desire. I'll never forget, we left that day, and I went home, and I prayed about it, and I came back, and I sat down, and I talked to Brother Easter, and here's what I said. I said, God's given me peace about coming to help you. And if that's what I need to do, then that's what I'll be willing to do. And you know what happened that day? He said, no. He said, I believe that you need to be the pastor of the church. He ended up resigning. They put me in as pastor of the church. You say, preacher, why did you say all of that? Every once in a while, we have to submit our ways to his ways. Because Elijah was in the right position, God begins preparing him. He begins preparing him. He is submissive to the position. He is submissive to the preparation. Watch this. A.W. Pink said this. The Lord assigned him to Cherith. God does not grant fresh revelations until there has been a compliance with those already received. You will never be faithful to a large task in the service of God until you learn to be faithful to the small task that is set before you. F.B. Meyer said this, if you are confounded about the will of God today, it may be a result of having not obeyed the will of God yesterday. His submissiveness. I see his position. I see his preparation. But I want you to see this before I move on from this. He was submissive in the pursuit. And I really preached this whole point to get to this one thing. In the pursuit. Boy, we all hear about Elijah praying the fire down on Mount Carmel. But watch this. If he wasn't right here, he would have never went to Mount Carmel. If he wasn't obedient right here, he would have never went to Mount Carmel. Watch his pursuit, verse number 5. The Bible said in verse number 4, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." Watch verse number 5. Look what he says in verse number 5. So he went. Did you catch that? He went. What was he doing? He was pursuing exactly what God said do. Watch this, verse number 10. Verse number 9 says this, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded the ravens," or I have commanded the widow woman to feed thee, or a woman there to sustain thee. Now watch verse number 10. So he arose and went. Go to chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse number 1. Now think about this. He's at the widow lady's house. He's got somewhere to sleep. He's got something to eat. Everything seems to be going okay. He's just raised her son from the dead. Man, he is, look here. He is the grand potentate around there right then because of what God is doing in his life. Look in verse number 1 of chapter 8. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go." Look at verse number 2. And Elijah what? Somebody tell me the next word. Went. You see, there is a place of being submissive. But preacher, why does God want me to go? I don't know. But preacher, why does God want me to preach? I don't know. But preacher, why does God want me to do this? I don't know. But I do know this. If you ever get there, it'll be a place of submissiveness. I want you to hear what I'm fixing to say. Nothing else. We can go back to chapter number 7 or chapter number 17 and we can look past the brook Cherith. Nothing else, I believe, would have ever happened in Elijah's life if he hadn't went. Let me tell you what would have happened. The brook dried up. The ravens would have quit flying and he'd have died right there by the brook. But God said, "Hey, Elijah, I've got something. Hey, God done great things there. God moved in a great way there. But you know what he said? We've got to move on now." And you know what Elijah said? "Yes, sir, Lord. If that's what you want from me, then that's what I'll be willing to do. Whatever it is, Lord, I'm submitting myself to you. I'm submitting myself to you." You say, "Well, preacher, you know, I just want to make sure it's the will of the Lord." Can I say something to you? You need to. But can I say something else? It don't take 6 months to make sure something's the will of the Lord. God will confirm, amen, God will confirm your will for his life through his word. And then it's up to us. If we're going to get there, to be submissive. Number two, there was a place of submission, but number two, there was a place of sustaining. Sustaining. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Can I just say it real simply this way? There was a place God took care of him. There was the place that God was going to feed him. There was the place that God was going to allow him to do things that no one else could do. But he had to be there. There. It's a place of sustaining. One writer said this. He said, "I don't believe that the miracle of the ravens would have occurred any other place than there." A.W. Tozer said this, "To enjoy God's provision, the prophet must be in the place of God's assignment. It was not left to Elijah to choose his hiding place. He must submit to God's choice. And the only way that Elijah was ever going to enjoy the sustaining of God's power and God taking care of him was to be there." To be there. To be there. You say, "Preacher, where is the there in my life?" That's between you and him. But are you there? Are you there? Are you there? We will see God. What did he do? Here's what he done. He fed him with a crow, and he drunk water out of a brook. He took him to a widow's house in the midst of a drought. You remember I said that it wasn't going to rain for 3.5 years. And whenever you study that widow lady, she said, all I've got, it's just a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. I'm going to make it, and we're going to die. And you know what Elijah said? Here's what Elijah said. You go fix it for me first. You say, well, preacher, that's awful selfish. Look what God done for her because she was submissive to the things of God. He said, you go fix that. And you know what he does? Or she does, she goes and fix it. And you know what you find whenever you study the Word of God? Over and over and over and over, she went back out to the meal barrel. And guess what was in the meal barrel? Enough food to sustain them a day. I don't believe the meal barrel run over. I believe every day she scraped it out to the bottom, used what she had enough for that day. And you know what happened the next day? She went back out there and she opened the meal barrel, and guess what was in there? Enough for that day. And you know what she did? She went into the house and she fixed her and the man of God and her little boy something to eat. And you know what she did the next day? She walked back out there and opened the meal barrel and said something like this: well, the Lord has done it again, and walked back in there and fixed something for her, the man of God, and her little boy. And you know what she done the next morning? She walked back out there. She opened the meal barrel, and guess what? Well, three of you's got it. There it was. Why? Because she was there. Did you see it just shift? She was there. You see, when you are submissive, I want you to hear me right here. And I really hope you'll come back tonight, because I'm really going to deal with this tonight. When you're submissive to being there, you'll lead others there. If, oh, we could speculate all day, but I'm not. If Elijah hadn't went there, would she have died and her son? It's quite possible. Did people in Nineveh die for 3 days when Jonah didn't go and was in rebellion? Absolutely they did. You see, when you become submissive, it will lead others to become submissive. Watch verse 5. I want to show you something. So he went and did. Where is he going? He's going to the widow lady's house. Go to verse 15. Verse 15 says this, the beginning of verse 15. And somebody tell me the next word. And what's the next word after that? And what's the next word? And one more word. You see, when Elijah became submissive, it led others to be submissive to what God had for their life. Can I ask you a question this morning? Are you there? You say, well, preacher, you know, I'm seeing God do some things. Elijah was seeing God do some things. But now it's going to turn from just Elijah being fed to a woman and her son being fed. And then it's going to go to the next step, a fire coming down from heaven. And on we could go in the life of Elijah. Why? Why did this happen in his life? Because he was there. He was at a place of submission. Are you going to be satisfied with just a little bit? Or are you going to completely surrender yourself and get there? Because when you do, it might be amazing what God does. Are we there? There was a place of submission. There was a place of sustaining. Can I show you one more this morning, then we'll come back tonight? There was a place, and we'll close right here. There was a place of suspense. Have you ever Have you ever just been, will you come start playing softly? Have you ever just been doing what you know you're supposed to do? And things happen and you go in the backside of your mind and go, why'd that happen? Why? And you know, we make this statement and man, I got a bunch of stuff wrote down right there, but I'm just going to follow the Lord for just a minute. We make this statement. I can't ask the Lord why. Well, why can't you ask God why? Jesus did. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus did. You ever been, Brother Josh, just kind of just preach it right down your row for a second? In the center of God's will, I believe, serving the Lord, everything going all right. Teaching, working with the kids, wife playing the piano at church, mom and dad favored with the house of God with you, and all of a sudden one morning you wake up and daddy's dead in the recliner. Suspense. Why? Elijah's down there at the brook. Boy, the Lord, I done come down off a platform on a Sunday morning and we got visitors. But the Lord's helping him. The Lord's doing some things for him. He's seeing God do great things and God says, it's time to move on. I got something better for you. And in the backside of his mind, when Elijah rolled his sleeping bag up, rolled his sleeping mat up to keep the moisture from coming up through the ground and getting him wet at night, rolled his tent up, Brother Roger put it all in his backpack, got his trek and pose out, and started walking away from the brook that day. Brother Matty was probably thinking, Lord, I've saw you do some amazing things right here. Why are you leading me away? He gets over there to the widow lady's house. Are we there yet? He gets over there to the widow lady's house. And when he gets over there, boy, God really starts doing some things. Man, Elijah's not got a crow bringing something by to feed him. But God's now given him a widow lady, and he's got a bed to sleep in, and he's got a hot meal to eat. And all of a sudden, she comes running to him and says, Elijah, Elijah, my baby's dead. Elijah probably thinks in the backside of his mind, Lord, where are you at? What do you mean your baby's dead? You know what Elijah does, and I'm going to really deal with this tonight. I hope you'll come back. He goes up there, and when he gets up there, he spreads himself out over that child. God raises that child. But chapter 18 comes, and God says, hey, Elijah, it's time to move on. And in the back of Elijah's mind, he's thinking, man, Lord, what are you doing? But hear me and hear me well. Elijah would have never saw the resurrection power of God himself if that boy had not have died. And in the deepest, darkest moments of your life is when God is trying to get you there. See, God's wanting to do something in you and through you, but he's got to get you there first. He's got to get you there. He had to get Elijah to the widow lady's house. And in order for him to get him there, he had to go over there to the brook by a place of solitude, a place of being all to himself. He had to do some things in his life before he could ever get him there. Preacher, I don't know why I'm where I'm at today. I stood yesterday afternoon in the cold, windy air of the mouth of Wilson. Done a funeral. And heard one of them say these words, I just don't understand why we're here. Last night I talked to one of the best friends I got on this earth, David Edwards. This week his brother-in-law died. After his brother-in-law died, his mother-in-law went into the hospital and is very critical right now. In the midst of all of that, on his daddy's side, his daddy's brother and her wife was in a bad car accident, and both of them are in the trauma center at Asheville. I talked to him again this morning. He said, just pray for us today, preacher. Why? You know, we may never get that why answered, but it's quite possible that God's trying to bring you to a place of submission so He can sustain you like He never has before. But you got to let Him get you there. Here's what we do. I'm done. It's 12:01. Here's what we do. We bow up on it. I don't want to go no further. What if? What if? Well, people's going to... I don't know who I'm preaching to. People's going to think, well, if I surrender to do this, then I'm just trying to be like somebody else. I remember we had a span here at the church. Some of y'all remember this several years ago. Well, we had about 7 or 8 preachers called in a year. It's just about like every service is another young man saying, hey, God's called me to preach. And those guys are out pastor today. And I remember one of them coming and talking to me, and he said this, I don't want others to think that I'm doing it just because of this. And I looked at him and I said, son, you got to do what God calls you to do, and you need to quit worrying about what everybody else is going to think or everybody else is going to say. What you better learn is submitting to God. Are we there yet? Are we there? How's your submission this morning? If you'll submit, He'll sustain you. There'll be days of suspense. There'll be days that I hope you'll come back tonight, because we're going to get on the shouting side of this thing. That boy didn't stay dead. And can I just say this to you? If you've had a loved one outrun us in this race and they're saved by the grace of God, they're not going to stay dead. Amen. They're not dead right now. They're alive and well with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day's going to come that we're going to be called up together to meet them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. God allows things to happen to get us there. Are we there yet? Moses, 40 years backside of the desert. David spent much of his young life in the wilderness taking care of sheep. John the Baptist was alone in the wilderness. Paul was in an Arabian desert and 18 years in prison. John the Apostle exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Are we there yet? Are we there? Father.